So we are going to begin the new perek, the ninth perek of the Vastra, Kuslam and Tesam Abed. Like the previous perek, this one is going to talk about the dinim of Yerusha, but for the most part, the previous one was talking about the dinim that apply on a Daraisa level, and this one is going to be focusing more on things that apply at the Zerabon level. We're going to be discussing things like the Tekana of Moza and Habonos, which we dealt with at the very end, briefly at the very end of the last perek. We're going to be dealing with the whole concept of Mas Shidmarai in more detail. A couple of other things, and then towards the end of the parak, actually, we're going to go back to something which is sort of, in a way, not really deraita, not really derabanan, a number of cases of suffix. You have a suffix where two people died, let's say a mother and a son, or various other cases that you have over there. You're not sure which one of them died first, so it affects the question which one first inherited the property before they died.
Right.
So we'll deal with that at the end of the parak. So the Mishnah starts out. Misha mes, person dies, v'inich bonim u'bonis, and he left over sons and daughters. So we know that the son's Yarshin, but now we're going to say it depends. Because we have, on the one hand, the son's Yarshin. On the other hand, there is a takanas chachamim, which we talked about before, that the daughters are entitled to mezonos until they get married. Either until they become a begeres or until they get married, whichever one comes first. Incidentally, the Rashbam uses the expression that mezonos over here includes both food and parnasa, meaning wedding expenses. Tosfos says not really; those are two separate things. Those are two separate line items. Mezonos over here would mean day-to-day food and drink, day-to-day expenses. Parnasa would mean things that are necessary for a wedding. Those aren't necessarily the same thing. Okay. Anyway, bizman shana chosim merubin. If you have a lot of nechosim, and we'll see in the Gemara what the definition of a lot versus a little is. Habonim Yushu, okay, then there's the sons Yarshim and the Chosim, the Habonis Yizonu, and the daughters get their Mizonis. For until they become a Begeres or until they get married, as the case may be. Nechosim Watin, on the other hand, if you only have a small amount of estate. No. Well, of course, the daughters are Khanis, yeah. I mean, by Khanis or Naris, whatever. Yeah, the point is that until they get married or until they become a Begeres, whichever one comes first, they're entitled to Mizonis out of the estate. Afterwards, the expectation is they're going to be married and their husbands are going to support them. If they're not married by the time they're a begeris, okay, still they can be responsible for supporting themselves. No, because then I mean, whatever nechosim they bring into the marriage, fine. But we expect they'll have a nadin and so forth, but they don't inherit anything from the estate because only boys inherit when there are boys and girls. Okay, nechosim wanted. If there's only a small amount of nechosim, again we'll see in the Gemara what the definition of that is. Habonos yizonu. Then we say the daughters still get their mezonos. That takana chachamim still stays intact. The habonim yishalav al psachim, and the sons they don't get anything. If need be, if they don't have anything, they'll have to go and then beg for a living if that's the only way they can earn any money. Now the interesting thing is that all the Rishonim talk about. Why didn't the Mishnah just say it more straightforwardly? Just say the daughters get the mezonos, and the sons will get whatever's left, and we'll understand that it's nechosim merubin versus nechosim watin. So they talk about a couple of different ideas. One is there's a difference when in the case of nechosim merubin, what we're saying is, just to recap quickly, we started the Mishnah. We were saying that if there's a lot of nechosim, then the boys inherit it, the girls get their mezonos, they get the money for their food until they get married or until they become a begeres. And if not, if there's a small amount of nechosim, the girls still get their mezonos because that's one of the tanoik suba, but the boys aren't going to get any. They may get nothing. They may end up having to go beg for a living if that's all there is. So the question is again, why don't we just summarize and say the girls get their mezonos and the boys get whatever's left, and if there's nothing left, it means there's nothing left. So they talk about a few different ideas. One of them is we're going to talk about in the Gemara the question of what happens if the Yesomim, what happens if the boys go and sell some of the Nechosim? Is it valid or not? So one angle on that then, therefore, is that if it's Nechosim Merubin, what it means is the Nechosim are under the control of the boys. They can do whatever they want with it, subject to the fact that they have to make sure that a certain amount is earmarked for their sisters. They do it themselves, or it has to be deposited with Beis Din or whatever, as opposed to Nechosim Muatin, where it's not under their control in the first place. It's going to have to be under Beis Din's control. It's going to have to be under Basin's control to make sure that the daughters get their part, and therefore the sons are not going to have anything under their control. That's one way of looking at it. And it comes into the picture, for example, you know, we'll learn in the Gemara that if the Yisoimim go and sell, what's done is done. And it means, in other words, L'chatchila, they shouldn't. But for example, the Mordechai says that if, let's say, if it's an emergency case, let's say there's a matter of Pinyan Shvuyim involved or something, then they'd be allowed to sell it. But that's only if the Nechasim are under their control. If it's under the control of Beis Din, then they're not happy. It would be held by Beis Din, and Merubin it wouldn't. That's one way. The Rashbam talks about another idea, which is also, if it's Merubin, then what it means is, we'll talk about in the Gemara, what about if the value goes up or down after the father died, but while the daughters are still getting the mezonos? At whose expense is that up and down? Are those fluctuations? Is it at both of their expense, the boys and the girls, or only the boys? That'll also depend on the question of, have the boys actually inherited the estate and they're just responsible for making sure that a certain amount goes for their sisters from mezonos, or whether we're saying that they don't inherit it in the first place, that it all goes to the girls. So therefore, the Mishnah couldn't have summarized it and just said the girls get their mezonos and the boys get whatever's left, because there are actual fundamental dinim that are different in the two cases. Okay. Now, Admon says, we learned way back in Ksubas that Admon was one of the two Dayonic Zeris in Yerushalayim. These were Dayonim in charge of making Zeris for cases involving Zeilus and other financial matters and whatever. So he was one of the Mishnah over there in last Perek Ksubas with seven halachas in which he argued with the Chachamim. This is one of them. So Admon Omer, Bishvil Shani Zachar Hifsadki. What is this? Because shouldn't the boys have the ability to say, because I'm a boy, I lose out by Mechasim Watim? Now, what does he mean by that? We'll learn in the Gemara what kind of Mechasim Watim. I care. The girls get their mezonos regardless. The boys end up with nothing.
Yeah, the boys day-to-day expenses.
Fine, but the fact of the matter is they're guaranteed that regardless. Whereas the boys may end up having to be Yishalu Alap Sachim. They end up having to beg by the door. In other words, it sounds like Admon is saying, don't do that in that case. Don't allow the girls' mezonos to completely override the boys' Yerusha. Just say, in that case, they divide it equally or something.
If
it's Mechasim Watim, we're talking about.
The girls get their mezonos.
So let's say, for example, we calculate that it's going to take, you know, let's say, for example, we calculate that it's going to take $100,000 for the girls' mezonos from now until they get married. The whole estate is only $100,000. According to what the Tanakhama is saying, the girls are going to get that whole $100,000. It's going to be earmarked for them. It's going to be put away for them in Beis Din or whatever. And the boys are getting nothing. Admon is arguing you can't completely take away the boy's right to Yerusha. In that case, what you should say is that the fact is, the Torah tells us, the boys are supposed to Yerusha. How can you override that completely? So therefore, he's saying, in other words, fine, then let them, the girls will get a certain percentage of it towards their mezonos. Maybe not all of what it'll need until they get married or whatever, but at least, actually, we'll see in the Gemara, it's not necessarily till they get married. We'll see in the Gemara the definition of merubin and muatin. But anyway, the bottom line is, Admon would say that, fine, you give a certain amount of it to the girls for that, but the boys still Yarish and the rest. No, but in other words, you don't give the whole amount to the girls in that case. So Rabbi Gamliel says, I see that what Admon is saying is logical. I accept his opinion. Now, who does that mean the halacha is like? The Rashbam brings from a Gemara there.
The boys shouldn't be deprived because they...
We'll have to see also what he means by Bishvil Shani Zachar Hifsadti. We'll have to see what Admon's argument exactly is. We'll see that in the Gemara. Anyway, the point is that... I don't have it actually, but it should be in there. He said he turned it on, but that's kind of thing. Yeah. All right. So what's the halacha? I'll get to in a second. Let's wait till Sender gets back. That's better. So the question is, who is the halacha like? Is it like Admon or the Chachamim? Now the Gemara, now the Rashbam refers to a Gemara there in Ksubos that says a general rule. Any time out of the seven machlokas in Admon and the Chachamim, in a number of them, Rabbi Gamliel says this expression: Royani Yisiri Admon. I accept that what Admon is saying is valid. And the Gemara says there, every time he says that, that means the halacha is like Admon. Well, in that case, the halacha should be like Admon in our case. On the other hand, Tosfos and most of the other Rishonim do not pass him like Admon, because they say the fact is the Gemara that we're going to have here, the Gemara on our Mishnah, is evidently not going like Admon. We're going to be talking the whole time of what happens when Mechassim and Rubin versus Mechassim Muatin on the basis of the idea that, as the Chachamim said, the sons don't get anything by Mechassim Muatin. If it were according to Admon, that wouldn't be the case. So what do we do with that rule in Tosfos? So Tosfos says, evidently, Admon himself is not necessarily saying that I disagree with the Chachamim. He's just saying I can't understand how the Chachamim of some earlier generation could have made such a takana. But nonetheless, okay, that's the takana, and therefore I have no choice to agree with it. And similarly, Rabbi Gamliel says, Royani is giving Admon. Yeah, I can see why Admon is objective to it. But nevertheless, the halacha is the halacha, and therefore even Admon himself is not disagreeing with it, and therefore that's what the halacha remains.
He doesn't understand it.
He doesn't understand. It means that he doesn't understand, but the halacha is still the halacha. Yeah, so according to most of the poskim, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is indeed like a chacham, not like Admon. The Gemara says, "V'kama merubin." Okay, what's the definition of nechatim merubin versus muatim? Amar v'hoda amar Rav, kedei sheyizunu mehen elu ve'elu shnei masa chodesh. Merubin would be if there's enough money that both the boys and the girls are able to have their mezonos, and again, the Rashbam says it means also parnasa, wedding expenses, for 12 months out of the estate. That would be considered nechatim merubin. Then, so Rabbi Yehuda said that in the name of Rab. Then he says, when I told that over to Shmuel, we find in many places in Shas, Rab passed away a few years before Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda was originally Rab's Talmud. Later on, he went and became Shmuel's Talmud. So there's a number of places in Shas where he takes something that he learned from Rab and tells it over to Shmuel, and Shmuel comments on it. Tiam Rita Kameh to Shmuel, when I told it over to Shmuel, Omar, he said, no, Zudir Ram Gamliel Berebi. That's only according to Rabbi Gamliel Barebi. Now, who is Rabbi Gamliel Barebi? One possibility is that it means that that's the Rabbi Gamliel of our Mishnah. In which case, that's again more proof maybe that Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah is not actually arguing with the Chachamim, or Admon himself is not actually arguing with the Chachamim, but rather agreeing with them. Maybe he's saying, Barebi, according to that, would mean the son of the great people. It doesn't necessarily mean the son of Rebbe as in Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. It can mean the son of the great people, because he's descended from great people, from Hillel or whatever. From the Shem Gamliel. So therefore, okay, but nevertheless, sometimes the expression Beribi or Berebi is used in Shas as an expression of respect for somebody. So according to that, it would mean that Rabbi Gamliel indeed is agreeing with the Chachamim. This may be okay. He's trying to say, let's limit the applicability of it. Let's not say that the Chosim and Rubim is so much as until they become Bagaris or whatever, but rather only 12 months. But still, basically, he'd agree with the Chachamim. The other possibility, though, that some of the Rishonim say is Rabbi Gamliel Bar Rebbe over here may mean exactly what it sounds like. Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. He's the one who explains the Mishnah that way. Abba Chachamim, I remember the Chachamim say, it means, Nechasa Merubim, the definition is Kadeshi Yezunim, Mehen Elo Ve'elo, Adshi Yivgul. Nechasa Merubim would be if there has to be enough Nechasim that both the sons and the daughters have enough to live off of until the girls become Begeris, so until they get married, whichever comes first. So that's the Tanai Ksuba. So therefore, we calculate how much it's going to take. We calculate how much it's going to take for their maintenance until they become begeris or until they get married. And if there's any more than that, then it's nechasim merubim and the son's inheriting. On the other hand, okay, itmar nami. Now they also said a discussion like this in Eretz Yisrael. Ki also Ravin Amar Rav Yechanan. When Ravin came, he reported that Rav Yechanan had said, "Ba'amilo Amar Rav Baba Chana Amar Rav Yechanan," or others say that Rav Baba Chana said in the name of Rav Yechanan, "Kol shi'azunu mehen elu ve'elu ad shi'yukru." As long as there's enough that both the boys and the girls are able to live off it until the girls become begeris, hein merubin, that's the definition of mechasim merubin, tachas mekana, re'elu mu'atin, any less than that, that's considered mu'atin. Exactly the same as Shmuel said what the Rabban said. The question, though, is, the question on that is, though, what's the logic? So what's the logic? Because you don't have enough for the boys and the girls to live off of until the girls become begetters. Shakli lehu bonus lekulu. Should the girls take all of it? In other words, let's look at it like this. Let's say again, it's going to take 100,000, let's say, for the girls until they become begetters. Now, let's say, for example, it's also going to take 100,000 for the boys. Meaning, by that definition, the chosim merubim is only going to be if it's more than 200,000. So are you telling me, let's say it's 150,000, what's the logic? You're going to call it nechosim uatim and say the girls get the whole 150,000. What's the logic? They only need 100,000. Why shouldn't the other 50,000 go to the boys? Hello, I'm a Rava. So no, Rava said, it's true. It does mean achiyivkuru, like we said, but it doesn't mean that it has to be elu ve'elu. Both the boys and the girls have enough to live off of until shiyivkuru. Rather, what we do is we take out from the estate the amount that the girls are going to need from the zonus until they become begeret, so 100,000 in this example. And the rest indeed goes. The rest indeed goes to the boys. Instead of, like we thought, in other words, that as long as it's less than 200,000 in this scenario, it's all gonna then it's considered mechosim uatim. And then we said the girls are going to Yizonu, they're going to get their Mizonus, and the sons are going to be Yishalu Alapsachin. They're going to have to go begging because they're not going to get any of the Mechassim. Rava is saying that's not what it means. It's only Merubin if there's enough for both groups. But if it's less than that, as long as it's still more than what the girls need for their mezonos, we will still take out the part that the girls have, and the rest will still go to the boys. So again, according to the various possibilities that we discussed before, either it'll still mean no in this case, because it is considered nechosim uatim, what we will do is still the whole thing will be kept in escrow and based in, and they'll earmark part of it for the girls, and the rest of it will be held for the boys for when they need it. So as opposed to if it was Merubin, where it's under the boys' control. Or, again, we would say that in the next case that we're going to talk about, where the value of it goes down, then it's going to be at the expense, then it's going to be at the expense of both the boys and the girls. As opposed to if it was Nechassim Merubin, where it would be only at the expense of the boys, because they're the ones who actually own the Nechassim. Before we go further with the Gemara, by the way, I forgot. I wanted to mention a vort in Chassidus on the Mishnah about the Sabonim Yeshua, Abonis Yizonu. The Mizitra Magid says something on it in Magid Rav Yaakov. He says like this: you know, sometimes you have you're davening and you start having machshavas zaros. Okay. The words of davening can be thought of as bonim. They're sons. They're the main thing that you ask for. The machshavas zaros can be compared to doors. Now, what happened? The Magid describes over there the idea, which actually what the Mizitra Magid is describing over here, mind you, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya is meant only for tzaddikim. For Beinonim, you have to do something else if you have machshavas zaros during davening. But anyway, what the Mizitra Magid is saying over there is you want to try and take these machshavas zaros and elevate them to their source. Try to think, in other words, this particular idea that I'm thinking of as a machshavas zara, what's the source in kedusha that it comes from? And let me redirect my thought toward that. So the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, that doesn't work for Benjamin. You're down here. How are you going to raise it up to its source for Milo when you're stuck down here? You have to just ignore the machshavas zaros and dab into the Eivishta to help you remove them, etc. But for tzaddikim, what you do is you refine these machshavas zaros. Thus, it comes out, habonim yushu, the son, meaning the actual words of davening, inherit. They actually get the full complement of kedusha that they're supposed to have. And the daughters, these machshavas daughters, also get yizoinu. They get their mizoinus, and they get elevated up to where they belong. Elsewhere, also, the Magid talks about it in another place, also in Magid Rav Yaakov. He says another vort also, that habonim refers to Jewish people, and bonos refers to the goyim. We have the idea throughout Siddur that we are the primary recipients of the or from the Eivishter, and the goyim get it, mechinas achurayim, they get like the left, or at least that's how it should be. Anyway, that's how it should be when there's mechosim merubim, anyway, when there's mechosim muatim.
That's why we're wondering how come when there's so muatim, they're the ones who's getting it.
So, yeah, Siddur, I guess. He doesn't expand on that, but yeah, I guess that's the implication. Yeah. I saw, by the way, another verse on it also, in another sefer, where he says the Gemara has an expression based on it. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says "Emor lachokma achoyti at." You should say to chokma, meaning the Torah, you are my sister. So why is it that we comparing the Torah to a sister? This guy says, based on this Mishnah over here, you see that the sisters, no matter what, they have to be sustained, even if it's nechosim muatim. Nevertheless, the girls still have to get theirs. Therefore, the point is, even if you're having problems with parnasa or whatever, and you have to think, well, I need my parnasa, so therefore, learning Torah, supporting Tumat Chacham, whatever, has to take a back seat. Nope, abonis yizonis. The sisters have to get their mezonos first. Okay. All right, getting back to the Gemara. Okay. Now, it's obvious that Merubin v'Nismatu, suppose that the Nechassim were worth a large amount, they were Nechassim Merubin at the time when the father died, it would have been enough at the time for Mezonos, for the boys and the girls for a long time to come. And now it's less, either because the prices have gone up or the Nechassim have gone down in value or whatever it is, so now you don't have enough for both groups anymore. Well, Kvar Zachu ben Yoshim. The din in that case is the Yoshim already, the boys already, were Zoyche in them at the time. Therefore, it's still called Nechassim Merubin. Which means, therefore, that what's going to happen is that the decrease, therefore, is going to be proportional for both the boys and the girls. The girls are going to get their portion according to how much it was worth at the time when the father died, at the time when it became an estate. And now that it went down in value, the prices have gone up or whatever, they're going to lose proportionally with their brothers. We're not going to say the expense is all on the brothers. Okay. Question is, mu'atim b'nisrabu man. The question is, what about the other way around? What if it was worth less and now it's worth more? So at the time it was Nechassim Merubim, now it became Nechassim Merubim. What do we do? So the Rashbam, The Rashbam explains the question is like this. Do we say in that case, maybe that then in that case, the boys get that extra, so therefore, again, the girls only need Mezonos. So therefore, maybe the boys get whatever is not necessary anymore for the girls' Mezonos. Or maybe not. Maybe the girls have a bonus now. Maybe they get extra. That's how the Rashbam explains it. The Rosh explains it differently. He says the question is, if it became a Nisrabu, maybe do we start over again? Do we say, instead of the way we had it before, where we're setting aside for the Muslim and the daughters, and the sons may have to be Yishal or Al-Apsachim, maybe we just now mavakal all of that, and we start all over, and give the Yerusha to the boys, and earmark the part out for the girls. That's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, by the way.
What is it?
So that's the question. Mai, what's the din? Rishus Yoshin Kayomi. Do we say that the Nechassim are already in the Rishus of the Yoshin? Hilkach Rishus Yoshin Shavuach. Therefore, we can consider that they increased in value while they're in the Rishus of the Yoshin. So again, so then in that case, it would mean maybe then that the boys and the girls get equal proportions in the increase of it. Or according to the Rosh, the point is that therefore we start all over again. We say that we consider as though there had not been a division yet of the amount for the girls versus the amount for the boys. We start all over again and we earmark the part for the girls and then give the rest to the boys. Or maybe what we say is the Yoshim are out of the picture. That at the time it was Nechassim Uwazin, so the Yoshim, the boys are out of the picture. It was all earmarked for the girls. So now, even though it became Merubin, they're still out of the picture. All of the increase goes to the girl.
This case is changed. The change happened once they were divided.
Sometime after the father died. Doesn't matter when exactly. The point is that at the time the father died, let's say to continue our scenario from before, there was less than 100,000. Let's say even. So therefore there was exactly 100,000. So there's just going to be enough for the Mezonos of the girls, and that's it. Now all of a sudden an increase, and now it's worth 200,000. So do we say that whole increase goes only to goes equally to the boys and the girls, or maybe not? Maybe we say it goes only to the girls. Or according to the Rosh, the question is: do we now say now we start all over? We consider the Chassim Merubim. We set aside the 100,000 for the girls and the rest, and then the boys Yashin the rest. And it would mean again that the whole thing is under their control. So that's the thing. We're recalculating them. That's the question. In other words, do we say that? If it was a regular case of Yerusha, if each of the boys, forget about the girls, but if each of the boys had gotten their portion and then it went up in value, wonderful. Okay, so I have a windfall over here. My portion went up in value. The question is, over here, does it apply the same thing when we're talking about the girls are not getting an actual portion, but they're getting mezonos?
So, are we saying the mezonos is variable? We can say
the mezonos may be variable. Yes, prices go up and down. The value of the nechassim goes up and down. Whatever it is, before these nechassim weren't going to be enough for mezonos for the girls until they become beggars. Now it will. So the question is, do we recalculate?
That's one point. But The second point being, it could be variable, and initially there was enough. You didn't say it was variable.
The case where originally it was enough and then not, we said there's no question that Kvar Zoche Ben Yosh. We said there's no question, the boys were already Zoche in them, and therefore what we say is, at the time it was Nechafim Merovim, and therefore the boys and the girls are going to share equally in the loss. The boys' share is going to be deducted proportionally, and the girls' share. That's what we're saying, that it increases. So we have two possibilities. One is that we say that maybe the excess goes to the boys, the girls still stick with their amount that they need from Mazonas, and the extra goes to the boys, or maybe not. That's the question. Tashma, the Kum will try to prove, Amar of Asi, Amar of Yechanan, Yisoymin Shekodmu Umachru Benachasim Yosiv, if the Yisoymin go ahead and sell some of the nechassim, even if it was nechassim wasn't. Now, we said they're not supposed to do that because a certain amount is supposed to be earmarked for the girls. But nevertheless, mashamachru machru, what they sold is sold. Because again, as we've learned before, you can't take for the mezonos of the girls from nechassim mishabadim. So therefore, what does that mean? That implies, therefore, the fact that they have the ability to sell it shows, therefore, as the Rashbam says, they have a tfisis yad. They have a certain control. They have a certain part ownership of the nechassim. Therefore, yes, if now, even though it was nechassim wasim, even though they weren't supposed to be getting any of it to begin with,
implying, therefore, that
because they have the ability to sell, even though they're not close to the hachila, implying, therefore, if the value of the nechassim goes up, or prices go down, as the case may be, whatever, the nechassim buy more than they would before, then yes, they have their same schus in them, and therefore, yes, they get the extra amount, because they get the profit. It goes to them rather than being divided evenly among them and their sisters. Or according to the Rosh's explanation, what it means is that they did have this course all along. We don't say they're completely out of the picture. We said they were only temporarily out of the picture because it was Mu'atim. Now that it's Merubim, we will start all over again. We'll set aside for the girls their Mazonas, and the boys will be able to yash in their portion. By the way, I mean, the Gemara does mention, the Gemara we talked about the other day, about the concept of the Gemara in Sota mentioned the Rosha Orum, a crafty Rosha, and we gave an example of it involving a case of Acharecha. The Gemara there says, this is another one of those, that if you give the Yisomim advice to sell from the Nechassim Mu'atim, then it's also, such a person is also a Rosha Orum, because he's telling them to do something which is harming the interest, which is against the interest of their sisters. There is, by the way, an interesting discussion beginning from the time of the Gaonim. So what happens, now we talked about the other day, there was a takana from the Uli Gaonim that you can collect a choiv from Metalkal and not just from Kauka, as is the Din of the Gemara, because there came a point when most Jews didn't own Kauka anymore. Does that affect this din? If now the boys went and sold some of the Nechassim, are we going to say now the money that they have for it is still considered, it's still under a shibud to the girls? So that's the machlokas. I think if I remember correctly, Rabbi Hai Goyin says yes, and most of the other Rishonim say no. We would still say that even though the money is metalplin, and you can collect a chov from metalplin, you can have a shibud on metalplin after the takanas goyinim. So Rabbi Hai Goyin says on the basis of that, sure, then the girls have a shibud on this money. In that case, they're entitled to collect out of it. Many of the other Rishonim say, though, that no. That nevertheless, though, the takana of the goyinim was not meant to encompass that kind of situation. I should also mention, by the way, a more basic thing, which is when we say that the Yisomim went ahead and sold, when is this? According to the Rashbam, it's Davka if it happened before the girls came to Beis Din and the proper amount for them was earmarked. According to Tosfos, it can be even after that. According to Tosfos, even after that, even after Beis Din decided that the girls are entitled to X amount for their Mazonas, nevertheless, if the boys go and sell some of those Nechassim before the girls actually got a hold of them, then Masha also asked. And that's back at the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. There is an interesting, nevertheless, that's the halacha. There is actually an interesting.
Why should it be in the halacha? Like, because the girl
it wasn't actually given to the girls yet. So actually, the Shitta Mukubetis talks about an idea. He says because the vote is that the fact is the nechassim are still in the possession of the boys right now. They are obligated under the terms of what Beis Din is telling them to go and sell a certain amount of it in order to give mezonos to their sisters. But nevertheless, it is still in their possession, and they have, therefore, the ability to sell it. Same. Not really any different than the case where I borrowed money.
Not in a position to keep it. It's in a position to sell.
And
it makes it different.
And by the same logic, as for example, if I borrowed money and I have karka, which there's a shibud on that karka, I'm nevertheless able to sell that karka.
We're not talking about whether you're...
But this is the same kind of thing. The girls have a shibud on that karka. Fine, that doesn't prevent the boys from being able to sell it. Again, we're not saying it's the right thing to do, but they do have the legal ability to. Rabbi Hanan Wasserman, actually, in Chavetz Shurim, says another vote on it. He says the vote is that this chiyuv of mezonos is a day-by-day thing. Each day is its own unit. So therefore, in other words, if Beis said that the boys are a chayev to give mezonos, let's say today, Sunday, that doesn't necessarily, in and of itself, obligate them for Monday. Therefore, in principle, they can go sell the nechassim. Okay, so it means we won't have what to give them for Monday. Okay, but the psak, it doesn't mean they have to go back to Beis Din every day, of course, but it means that each day's chiyuv is a unit of its own. Kind of. So again, it's not the right thing for them to do, but they are legally able to do it. All right, let's go on. Yosef Rabbi Yirmiyah kamed Rav Abo. Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting as a Talmud in front of Rav Abo. V'kaboy minei, and he asked as follows. Almanosai ma'usha tamayit nechassim. What about the almona? What about, so you have boys and girls, you also left an almona. Now, that one of the tanoik sober is also that the almona is entitled to mezonos. So now, let's say you only, so the question is, are her mezonos, there is actually there are Rishonim who say, we're also talking about Ruksuba. Other Rishonim say that, no, Ruksuba, there's no question. It has to be factored out of it, but that's a separate issue. But in any case, mezonos. So do we say that, the mazon for her has to come, that therefore, in other words, what we do is we look at the nechassim merubim, we subtract the amount that's going to need for the almanah's mazonis, and then in that case, it's not merubim anymore, now it's muatim, and then we apply the dinim of nechassim muatim. Or maybe not. Maybe we still consider it nechassim merubim, and we just say that the expense of the almanah's mazonis are going to come equally out of the boys and the girls. That's the difference, basically, that Rashbam says. If we say that the question is almanah ma'usha t'mayit. If we say that the almanah is m'mayit, then what it means is that the almanah will get her mazonis. Will go down from merubin to muatim. Therefore, the almanah will get her mazonis. The daughters will get their mazonis. Before anybody else, before the boys. The boys, yishalo al apsachim. The boys will have to go and beg if need be. On the other hand, if we say, yishalo al apsachim, they will have to go ask around by the doors to beg for stuff. But if we say that the almana is not mamayit, then we would say that if we say that it's not mamayit, then it means that, fine, the girls don't lose out from their mazonos, but it means the almana and the boys together will get their mazonos. The boys are not going to be yishalo al apsachim. They're just going to the almana will end up getting less mazonis than she otherwise would. The girls secure the almanas, maybe not. So that's the question. Mi amrinan kiven de islam mazonim amata. Do we say that since the almana is entitled to mazonis, then that should be considered? So now you have another three parties to deal with: the boys, the girls, and the almana. And therefore, that makes it, when we figure out mechassim merubin versus muatim, we have to first figure out how much the almana is going to need and subtract that from the total value of the mechassim, and then now figure out whether it's mechassim merubin or mechassim muatim. Is there enough for the girl to live off of until they get married, etc. Or Dilma, or maybe not. Kiven de ilu mincevah lesla. Maybe since, after all, if the almana were to get married at some point, then at that point she doesn't get any more mazonis. Mazonis only exists as long as she's not married, or as long as she's alive. Hashanami lesla. Then maybe you could argue, but maybe even now, maybe she's not entitled to nechassim at the expense of the boy. Before she's married. Before she's married, we would say, in other words, we don't consider that it's mamayit for nechassim. We would say that we still have nechassim merubim over here. It just so happens from this nechassim merubim, there's an outstanding debt, namely the almana, to be paid. But we'll still say the daughter's mezonos will still be secure. The boys and the almana will get the rest equally. Or do we say we just give? In other words, again, let's give a concrete example over here. Again, the estate, let's say, is 200,000. We figure, let's say, it's going to take 100,000 for the girls. We figure it's going to take another 100,000 for the almana. If we call it mechassim merubin, if we say that almana is mamayit, what we're going to do is we're going to subtract the almana 100,000. That means now we have an estate of only 100,000. That's just enough for the girls. Therefore, the girls are going to get it. The boys get nothing. On the other hand, if we say that it's not Mamayit, what we will say is fine. The girls get their 100,000. The boys, Yarshim, the other 100,000, and out of that, some of that has to go to the Mazon of the Almana. So they're not necessarily going to be right away Yishalo al Psochet. They'll live off it for as long as they can. The Almana will live off it for as long as she can. And when not, okay, then they'll. Then they'll all Yishalo al Psochet together. But at least the boys are entitled to some part of it during that time only. That's the question. So do we say, because maybe we say that since if she gets married, she's not going to have them, then maybe even now she's not, maybe even now it's not considered a separate line item. So Tosfos asked the question, can't she say the same thing about the girls? The girls are eventually going to get married also. So Tosfos gets into a long discussion of it, which also the Achronim, the Masha, and many other Achronim get into it. Basically, what Tosfos says is there might be a difference like this. And this is this distinction is brought in Shulchan Aruch in the end. If you have only boys, then fine, they're yarshining on a daraisa level. So you can't say that the almanas mizonis override that. If there's only girls, again, they yarshin on a daraisa level. You're not going to make the almanas mizonis override that. But when you have boys and girls, so what do you have over here? You have that the girls are only getting midrabanan, that's a tachanas tachanim, and the boys, we're allowing that to override the boys' yerusha. Which even though the boys Yerusha is daraisa, we're allowing the girls Mizonis to override that in that case. We're saying that if the chasim wasin, then the girls get everything, whatever they need for their Mizonis, and the boys end up with nothing. That might be a logical reason to say that therefore the Almana is that in a case where you have only boys or only girls, maybe in that the Almana is Dirabana. It's a tonight's sermon. So maybe in that case, the Almana's case is weaker, where there's only boys or only girls, versus where there's boys and girls, maybe she has a stronger position. So when we're saying, because the Almana eventually is going to get married, we're talking about a case, let's say, where there's only boys, and we have to figure out what's happening with her, or only girls, and we have to figure out what's happening with her, not necessarily where there's both boys and girls. Okay. So, okay, continues the Gemara. Imtim Saloima Kivan the Ilumintsva Lesla, Hashanami Lesla. Okay, so you may say, you could argue that, yes, the Almana has a weaker case because were she to get married, then at that point her mizonis get cut off. So now also we can argue that her mizonis are not a separate line item that are going to go and reduce it from the chasim merubim to the chasim rotim. It'll just be an expense that the boys have to pay out of their portion. If you're going to say that, then you can ask, how about bas ishtei ma'ushet ma'ayt in the chasim? What about you have a case described in Ksuvos? A guy gets married, his wife has a daughter from a previous marriage, and the deal is that he's going to support this daughter for X number of years, 5 years, let's say, after the marriage. So now, the mizonis for her, which now if he dies, the Yoshim are responsible to take care of her. Is the amount for her, does that reduce the amount of the nechassim? Again, is it a separate line item, and therefore it goes down from merubim to muratim, or maybe not, it's just an expense that the boys have to pay out of their portion. Same kind of question. Mi amrin and pivin de kimintzava nami yislaw amata. Do we say that, in that case, unlike with an almana, when she gets married, then her mizonis from the estate are cut off. Here, this bas ishto, the stepdaughter, is still going to be entitled to mizonis even if she gets married during those 5 years. The deal was he's going to support her for 5 years regardless. So then, even if she gets married, nami isla, she's still going to have mizonis. Therefore, or mamata, therefore we could argue that hers is a separate line item. And therefore, in other words, again, we consider there's boys, there's girls, there's this bas ishtoi, and we have to subtract the bas ishtoi portion before we start calculating whether it's merubim or muatim. And therefore, that could end up then that instead it becomes the chasim muatim and the boys get nothing. Or you could argue, but after all, if the stepdaughter were to die, then at that point she doesn't get any more. It doesn't go to her yoshin. So maybe then it's not mamayit. Maybe it's not a separate line item. Maybe it's just something that, again, the boys have to pay out of their portion. I forgot to mention, by the way, with the almana, they asked the question, the Rishonim asked the question, how exactly do you calculate? Mainly with the girls, you know it's until they become begeret or until they get married. How do you calculate with the almana? You don't know how long she's going to live. So there are Rishonim who say that it means, fine, you do it only for like 6 months or something, but that's not the majority opinion. The majority opinion, and this is brought in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, is what you do is you just do the basin, have to calculate your life expectancy. You have to figure out how long is this almana likely to live, and on that basis, you figure how much it's going to be. Okay. So, okay, you could say, yes, in the case of a stepdaughter, yes, if the fact is if she dies and she doesn't get any more, there's no more mizonis for her, therefore you don't say she's mamayit, it's still called mechasim merubin, it's still called the yoshim with zoche and them, and they're just responsible to do mizonis for their sisters and mizonis for the stepdaughter. If you say that, what about if there's an outstanding debt against the nechassim? Same question. Do you consider that debt a separate line item, and therefore it may go down from nechassim merubim to nechassim muatim, or not? You could say that a Baal Chayv is still going to be entitled to collect it even if he dies, because his Yoshim are going to be able to collect the Chayv. Right. Therefore, you could argue that that's really considered a separate line item, and therefore it will be Mamayit. It will turn it from Nechassim Merubim into Nechassim Muatim, with everything that entails. Or maybe the fact of the matter is, the Baal Chayv has not yet actually collected it. When he comes and collects it, then you could argue that then fine, we'll make sure that there's the amount left for the girl, and the boys will give whatever is necessary to the Baal Chayv and lose, and if there's nothing left, then they lose. But we're not gonna give it all to the girl. We're not gonna lachachila give it before the Baal Chayv comes along. Okay. Now we have a usual rule that goes back to the Gaonim, that when the Gemara has a series of questions that it ties together with Imtim Tolaimar, it means whatever we said with the Imtim Tolaimar is Allah. So if we stop there, it would mean that the Almana is not Mamayit, the Bas Ishtar is not Mamayit, and the Baal Chayv we're leaving open. However, the Ikkad Debayla La'idach Gita, however, there's another version that asks the questions in the reverse. Baal Chayv Maoshi Mayit Menachot. Well, so is the Baal Chayv Mamayitim Menachotim? Is Bas Ishtar Maoshi Mayit Menachotim? And you could say the Imtim Tolaimar the other way around, because, again, the Baal Chayv maybe is Mamayit because the Chayv will survive his death. The Yoshim are going to get it. But Bas Ishtar is not. If she dies, then the Chayv to her doesn't survive her death. So then maybe she shouldn't be Mamayit. And similarly, Amonosi Maoshi Mayit Menachotim. And similarly, you could ask, is the Almana Mamayit. Again, you could say that the daughter is entitled to it even after she gets married, whereas the Almana is not. And Almanosa Ubat Eziman Kademis. And you can also ask, in general, if you only have enough Mazonis, if you only have enough for the Almana or the daughter, and they both come from the Tanai Ksuba, they're both the same Tekana de Rabbanan, so which one comes first? Now, according to the second version, then the Imtim Tolaimas go the other way around. Then we know the answer to the Baal Chayv. We know the answer to the Bas Ishtar. We're left with the question about the Alman. That is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. The Baal Chayv is Mamayit. The Bas Ishtar is also Mamayit. But the Almana is a Sopik. The Almana is a Sopik, and therefore as is usually the case with Sfeikas, then you can't. Since the girls are entitled to theirs definitely, then there's no question either way that they get theirs. Whether the boys get theirs or not, that's the stuff. Anyway, so then the last question we had was Almonasi or Bas Ezeman Kadetz. If you have the Almona versus the daughter, which one comes first? Given that they're both collecting under the same Tanai, under an equally matched Tanai Rabban. Amalei, so Rabbi Bohu tells Rabbi Yirmiya, Zil ha'id never tell a macher. Go leave today and come back tomorrow. I'll have an answer for you tomorrow. He also, when Rabbi Yirmiya came back the next day, Amalei, Rabbi Bohu says, Shait mi achada. Okay, at least out of your series of questions, I can answer one of them. Namely, the question about the Almona and the daughter. The Amar of Abba, Amar of Asi. Namely, that we find that Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rabbi Asi, also, Almona Eitzel Abbas, Kabas Eitzel Achim Menachasim Muatim. The Chachamim established that the position of the Almona relative to a daughter in Menachasim Muatim is the same as the position of the daughter relative to the brother. Namely, Ma Bas Eitzel Achim, just like with the daughter versus the brothers, we said that her position is secure, even in Menachasim Muatim. Habas Nizonis, she is going to get her Mizonis regardless, even Menachasim Muatim. The boys, the brothers, may end up having to go beg by the doors if they're not. Yeah, well, that was Abman's point. We'll get to that in a minute. So, in other words, the same way as we strengthen the daughter's position against the sons when Chosim Watin, the same way, the same way when it comes to an Almona versus a daughter, Almona Nizonis, Vabas Tishal Al Sakin. The Almona will get her Mizonis, the daughter will have to be Yishal Al Sakin. The almana comes before the daughters. What we learned actually back at the end of the previous perek, we learned that we had a case over there where the almana is able to collect from the daughter from the nichsim b'lor.
No, I understand. So, what's the basis for that?
The basis for that is that we want to secure the rights of the almana as much as possible.
Why first?
Okay, a svara could be that the boss is more able to take care of herself. She's more likely, she's going to get married, her husband is going to support her, the almana is much less likely to get remarried. Whatever the exact svara is, that's how it is. With that said, though, there's actually a machlokas that's brought in Shulchan Aruch whether this applies in the case where you have an almana and daughters only, meaning where there's no sons involved, or is it only when you have almana, son, and daughter? Because like I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, the svara in that is that if you have a son and a daughter, the daughter is collecting the drabanan, the son, even though he has the rights, so we're overriding in favor of the daughter, therefore we can override both their rights in favor of the almana. As opposed to if it's only sons or only daughters, then you're not going to say that. Because the fact is, the sons or the daughters, as the case may be, are yarshining their rights. The almana is only getting the drabanan. Then you're not going to say that sure that her rights override it. Then we said in the Mishnah, Admon Noimer b'shvil shani zocher sati b'chola, that Admon says in the Mishnah, just because I'm a boy, I should lose out. The question is, my comma. What does Admon mean by that? It sounds like he's saying, in other words, because I, as a boy, have a certain advantage in when it comes to mezonos in another scenario, therefore now, corresponding to that, you're making me lose out in this case. Where do we find a case where boys have a stronger claim as far as mezonos? They have a stronger claim as far as Yerusha, sure, because boys go ahead of girls, but that's not the same thing. And that's the same thing as Mizan. Amar Abaya, Hachikar. Amar Abaya says, what Admon means to say is like this, V'shvil shani zocher, v'roi ani lasik b'tora, because I'm a boy, and therefore I could be osik b'tora, I could be learning Torah, where then, in other words, that I have a greater zchus. And actually, Tosfos adds, based on a Gemara that we'll learn tomorrow, that actually if you have... And actually, a father does have a mitzvah to sustain his sons because they learn Torah. So therefore, the argument maybe is Admon is saying just because my father would have had a bigger mitzvah to sustain me as a boy, since I have a mitzvah to learn Torah and girls don't. I mean, girls, you have the whole concept of girls learning Torah, but that's primarily if they have it as a practical thing. They need to know the various halachas that are relevant to them. And they need to learn Chassidus, for example, because they need Av of a year or whatever. They don't have a mitzvah of Talmud Torah or Lishma, whereas boys do. So then, Hifsadki. So now, in a case like this, where there's a Chosim Watim, should I lose out? Because I would have the advantage that my father would have a mitzvah to sustain me because I learned Torah. Therefore, you're telling me that now, if there's a Chosim Watim, I should lose out? Corresponding to that? No, not learn Torah. In other words, Admon, the implication that Admon is saying is, there's a certain case in which I, as a boy, would have an advantage in mezonos. And corresponding to that, you, Chachamim, are saying that, on the other hand, there's a case where I have a disadvantage. Why should the one cancel out the other? Because I have an advantage. Because my father would have had a mitzvah to sustain me, mitzvah lozen as abonim, as we'll learn tomorrow, because boys learn Torah. Therefore, corresponding to that, you're going to say that if it's Chachamim Watim, I should lose out. It doesn't work out. However, Rava says, Elamayata, by that logic, what are you saying? By the logic of what you're saying, what Admon means, the Shvil Shani Zacher, Manda Osik Vatorah Hu Diyoris, Deloy Osik Vatorah Lo Yoris? Are you telling me that only a boy who learns Torah is going to Yarshin from his father, and a boy who doesn't learn Torah is not going to Yarshin? Every boy Yarshins from his father, regardless whether he learns Torah or not. So no, that's not what it means. Just because I'm a boy, and if they were nechasim merubim, I would have the stronger position because I would be the one who yarshins. Because again, I get the actual yerusha, no matter how big it is, and the girls only get mezonos until they're begerus to get married or whatever. If sadim nechasim muatim, because of that, should it be that when there's nechasim muatim, I lose out completely and get nothing at all? And that's why Admon is saying that in that case, no, that in that case it shouldn't happen. So again, according to the Rashbam, Admon is actually arguing with the Chachamim, and the Halacha is like him. According to Tosfos and almost everybody else, Admon is not necessarily actually arguing with the Chachamim. He's just wondering after the validity of the Takana, but nonetheless, the reason behind the Takana. Nevertheless, the Takana is the Takana, and the Halacha is not like it, because even he himself is not saying, I would do anything different. The Halacha, he's just arguing, theoretically, that I would have passed him differently. But as we learned in the previous credit, when you have halacha versus halacha lemaisa brings out. Okay, he has a good point. And Rav Gamliel on the Mishnah says, I see that point. Nonetheless, though, according to Tosfos, he's not actually coming to argue with the Chachamim, just to point out that it seems illogical. But nonetheless, okay, it seems illogical. Then the Rashbam says, because the Gemara tells us in Ksubas that in every case where Adman says something and Rav Gamliel says, I see that what he says is valid, the halacha is like him, that would mean the halacha is like him. However, we just had an entire sugya over here that obviously was not assuming according to Adman, it was assuming according to Chachamim. And on the basis of that, Tosfos says the halacha can't be like Adman. The Gemara would not have spent a whole block over here discussing the opinion of the Chachamim if that wasn't the opinion, if that wasn't the final halacha. Mishnah says, Hiniach bonu bonus v'tumtum. What happened? The father died. He left behind boys, girls, and a tumtum. So a tumtum, as we know from all over Shas, is somebody who their genitalia are not visible. You can't tell if it's a boy or a girl. Right. So you have there's two possibilities, which we'll see in the Gemara. One is that it's a suffix, whether he's a zohar or an akeva. The other possibility, which we'll see in the Gemara, is maybe he's not even like either one. He's neither a zohar nor an akeva. He's like a third gender, like a berry of a chasm. So we'll see. No, transgender or something else. So, this manshan nechosim merubim, if there's nechosim merubim, where we said in that case the boys yarshin it all and the girls get their mezonos, has chodim, dochen eteos on the chavis, and the boys can push him away to the girls. They can say, you don't yarshin with us because we're not sure if you're a boy. You can get mezonos like one of the sisters would.
But she's some girl.
But he's a suffix. Nechosim uavdin, but if you want to prove it, you inherit part of the thing, then you've got to show that you're a zohar. Okay, but he can't.
That doesn't mean if you're not a zohar, you're a king.
They're telling him because the suffix, whether you're a zohar, we have a badai, we're all zohrim, that we all yashin. You're a suffix, and suffix mostly means a badai. You want to take away a portion of the nechosim and inherit it. You got to prove you're a zohar.
Yes.
You can't. Therefore, you just get like an akeva. You get the zenus.
No.
Oh, we'll see that in the Gemara. Wait, we'll see a Svarah. Okay, so we'll see a Svarah in the Gemara. Let me just get it. Wait. Hold on. Nechosim Muatin, on the other hand, if there's Nechosim Muatin, where then we said the girls end up getting their mezonos and the boys may end up with nothing. Fine. Then the girls can push them away to the boys. You're not necessarily a nekeva. Therefore, you can't be entitled to mezonos with us. No. Hold on. Relax. Okay? Another case. Ha'oimer im tailed ishti zachar yutomana. If a person says, if my wife gives birth to a boy, yutomana, then that boy should get a mana out of my nechassim. Now, the obvious question is how he can do that when the child's not even born yet. So first of all, one point is that a number of the Rishonim say, the Rashbam first says it, there's two possibilities. Either he's a shchivra, in which case what he says goes, or even he's a body, but he was mezakeh through somebody else. We'll see in the Gemara, we'll discuss in the Gemara tomorrow, that even though normally you can't be mezakeh to a fetus, to an unborn child, this may be an exception. He's your own child. So either he's mezakeh through a third party, and because it's his own son, we'll see, a person is da'at is karev to his son. To his unborn, even though the child is unborn yet, doesn't exist yet in the world, nevertheless his da'at is close. The Beis Yosef also discusses at some length the question of why it's not considered a smachta. Among other things, he says because a smachta is only when you don't want it to happen, and here he does want it to happen. Okay, anyway. So he says that if my wife gives birth to a boy, then he should get a mana. Okay, yolda zacho yitza mana. So if she gives birth to a boy, he gets a mana. Nekeva mosayim, if he says that if she has a girl, she should get 200. Same thing, Yolda Nekeva, Netelus Masayim. So if she has a girl, then she gets 200. The chiddush of this part is that even if he only mentioned one gender, we don't say, but he's still meant to give something to the other one. No, we say only what he said goes. He said only a boy gets 100, he didn't say anything about a girl, then a girl gets, if it's a girl, then she gets 0, and vice versa. What if he said, in Zacha Mana in Nekeva Masayim? What if he said, if she has a boy, she should get a mana, and if she has a girl, she should get 200? V'yoda Zacha in Nekeva, and she has a Zacha or in Nekeva. Zacha Nota Mana in Nekeva, Netelus Masayim. Hold on. Then Zacha Nota Mana in Nekeva, Netelus Masayim. Then if it's a boy, he gets 100. If it's a girl, she gets 200. Now, the Rashbam makes a specific point of saying at some length that it does not mean if she had twins, that she had a boy and a girl. The Rashbam actually holds that if he had twins, neither of them would get anything, because the father, the Shtigmata, or the Bari, as the case may be, didn't even consider the possibility that it could be twins. He meant if it's only a boy or only a girl. So the point is, according to the Rashbam, the chiddush of this part is just because he mentioned both genders, fine, each one gets their thing. Unlike in the previous case where he mentioned only a boy, let's say, and therefore only if it's a boy does he get the 100, but if it's a girl, she gets 0, and vice versa if he mentioned only a girl. Here, because he mentioned both genders, fine, whichever gender it is, they still get, they get their respective amount, 100 and 0. But not both, not a twin. Many other Rishonim disagree with that and say that no, Zohar and Akeva means exactly what it sounds like, if you have twins. That then 100 goes to him and 200 goes to her. Yol the tumtum ain't noitel. Now, on the other hand, if she gives birth to a tumtum, he doesn't get anything because the tumtum, for this purpose, we're considering the tumtum to be a berry of ifnasma, which we're going to see, we'll discuss in the Gemara, that possibility. Again, a tumtum is neither a boy nor a girl, but some other. Hold on. That's what we're going to get to in the Gemara. Yes, we're going to see there's two different opinions represented there, yeah. So ain't noitel, he doesn't get anything. On the other hand, but if he says, whatever my wife gives birth to, they should get X amount, fine, then he gets it, because he is something that was born. And another din, suppose there's no other child, there's no other Yodesh except for that tumtum, Yodesh has a code, he still yarshens everything. I, the barrier between asthma, that's only fine. When there's other boys or other girls, then we say that he's a barrier between asthma, and then he doesn't get part of the inheritance. But we don't consider him a berry of asthma to the extent that he shouldn't get an inheritance at all. The same principle, in other words, that Rashbam says, the same principle as we learned in the previous perek, that whatever kind of descendants you have, pater your wife from Yibum, Ayin Olav, and we use the same thing to say therefore Mishmush, that if you don't have a son, but you have grandsons or granddaughters or whatever, it goes down to them. Well, a Tumtum is also a child. The fact is, your wife would be pater from Yibum if she had a Tumtum, and then the father died. By the same logic, you can yarsha.
Yibum is not the Yerusha, it's very different.
But we learned one from the other at the beginning of the previous Perek when we were learning about the Dinim. So we, nevertheless, that's the point. We use the same expression, Ein Loi, in both of them. Ishki Yomus Ubein Ein Loi, and Umeis Achamam Ubein Ein Loi. In both of them, we said Ein Loi means Ayin Olav. Check it. So we apply it to this case also. Therefore, the Tumtum is still Ayin Olav. You check into what lineage is left from him, and you have this Tumtum. Fine, his wife is part of Yibum, and the Tumtum can Yavsha. Only when there's other boys or other girls, then we say not because of the Sophic or because of the Bar Mitzvah. So we'll leave for tomorrow, Beis Hashem, the discussion in the Gemara of what is the Tumtum. Is he a Sophic boy, Sophic girl, which will be one set of halachas, or is he a berry of the Bnei Asma, which will be a different set of halachas?
Like a
Koi, right, yeah, exactly.